Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just a Pill. I'm your host, Winnell, and thank you for joining me this glorious Thursday. I'm extremely grateful for what God has done then and now, and I'm thankful that you are listening to the show. My prayer for you is that you'll be challenged, confronted, enlightened, and encouraged here on Just a Pill. And the goals for Just a Pill are to strengthen our personal relationship with God, our obedience, working in our faith, our advocacy for justice, helping others, and learning and studying God's word on an individual basis. Last week's show, we talked about the best partnership in the world, of course, that's with God. So make sure that you check out blogtalkradio.com/justappeal to catch up on what we discussed about. But for today's topic, we are talking about God's law versus man's law. Ooh, you can call in at 213-943-3794, voicing your comments and testimonies, because I'm sure you might have a lot to say about the differences between God's law versus man's law. So let's get right into the scripture. So if you can turn your Bibles to Psalms 1 or look on your phone, it says, starting at verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So let's look at verse 3 again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God's law prospers. Okay, now high five in the air. According to Isaiah, I believe it's 50. Oh, I don't. No, because I didn't type in. I apologize. But it's in Isaiah, in verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay, so let's check that out again. Please just look up the scripture that says, God's word will not return void, and it will pop up, but it is in Isaiah. And it says that it shall accomplish what I please. This is God speaking, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay, then what does prosper mean according to God? We have talked about this in our previous shows where he's discussing and showing, exposing spiritual treasures from above, from heaven above, such as wisdom, like we talked about in the last show for the partnership of God, that benefit, okay? So whatever God's will is, will prosper, whatever that may be in your life. And I have realized our definition of prospering is not always similar to God's prospering. But we do know it shall what? Prosper. It's a part of his good purpose, not ours. His purpose, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good. Those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's just one scripture that talks about God's purpose. So I do hope that you will look even further to find the different scriptures referring to God's purposes, but we do know that it includes affliction and joy in our life because it will work for the good. What God's good is cannot compare to what your good is. We just have to humble ourselves and recognize we are a part of Him. It is not the other way around. So I want you to call in Just Appeal at 213-943-3794 and tell me your thoughts. Again, 213-943-3794. And if you need some extra encouragement, check out Just Appeal's blog at justappealblog.blogspot.com. Just infusing your day with God's word. So like I had said, I asked myself, okay, Lord, well, your law prospers. So what is man's law all about? What is man's law rooted in? Well, according to the scriptures, the heart of a man or woman in Jeremiah states that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? When you look in Jeremiah, that entire book, there's a conversation between Jeremiah and God telling Jeremiah what I need you to do with the people. But I thought this question was interesting because only God knows your heart, right? So if man's law is rooted in his or her heart, the only one that can change the heart that is deceitful is God. And that is why we have so many different false doctrines in the world. Remember, we're talking about the world system that will not prosper anybody. It's deception. Okay, what are we talking about as prospering? We'll go right back to the spiritual blessings that come from God. It is His knowledge, His wisdom, and understanding. And man's law will appear that it's about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but in the long run, it will not allow anybody to prosper spiritually. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for that. So again, when you look in Jeremiah, the question is asked, okay, well, who can understand the heart? And this is what God says back. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine mine to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. There's the answer. God searches the heart. He examines the heart. We need to pray for our lawmakers that they have a heart that has been changed by God to do the laws that He has given to humankind. Okay, here we go. So now, why can God change the heart? Because He is our creator. He is the creator of humankind, as it says in Genesis. And it's unfortunate, but humankind cheats itself when we are trying to be apart from God. When humans are separated from God, it's no good, okay? And it's, we are literally cheating ourselves. Because we just read in Psalms 1 that if we meditate on His law, if we practice it, we shall what? Prosper. This made me think about Job. When Job had all these questions, he was in affliction. He was saying, woe is me. His friends were trying to give him knowledge. But God comes to him and says, hey, man, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? You wasn't present. I know that's not funny, but that's the truth. We were not present when God made the foundations of this world, okay? So we cannot make ourselves be the ones to change anybody. Only God can. Was that a hard pill to swallow for myself? Yes, it was. But I finally discovered that, you know, Lord, that's you. You know everybody's heart. I can't judge people because of what's in their heart. Only you can. And again, it says in Proverbs 19:21, according to the King James Version, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So let's just think about man for a second, or just think about yourself. We are everywhere. We will have all these different plans. We think if we do this, this shall happen. We'll have all the research. We'll have the reasons. And it can become confusing, obsessive, overwhelming, the plans that man tries to do. But as we can see, that only God's laws will what? Prevail. It will prosper. And with that said, okay, well, if my heart is jacked up, Lord, in Psalms 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Hallelujah. That he is willing to create the pure heart he wants us to have. So the question is now, okay, well, how do I discern God's law versus man's law? How do I know what has been tampered with according to God's law? Because there is so much deception in this world. You need God's discernment to determine what's real and what's not, what is the truth, okay? We know that God's laws or the rules are his principles. And the reason the principles are set, because they represent the separation between darkness and light, good and evil. No matter what man says or do, God's laws are the truth. They are holy. They represent good. Why? Because our God is holy. There is no blemishes. There's no blemishes in God's law. There's no hangups. There's no loopholes. It is what it is because he has made it that way. So finally, when we look to see in Proverbs 19:21, again, that his law shall stand, which is his counsel, we can see that in the Garden of Eve, the law that wasn't necessarily written, but God had told them, look, don't you touch that tree. You can eat everything here, but do not touch that tree. And what happened? They eat the tree and got in trouble. Okay? They got in trouble. That's the same way that it is today. If you're not doing what God says, you can face trouble. It's only by his grace and mercy the consequences may not be as severe. However, trouble is around the corner, possibly, if you do not follow God's law, right? Yes, it is. And we do know this, that it will stand. It has standed since the beginning of time, and it will stand until time. There is until eternally, eternal life. His laws will forever stand. I just want to point out this to you regarding man's law, that it can constantly change, right? We can look at our policymakers. We can look at some laws in our cities, in our different states. But law from man will change. And a quick example of that was Nebuchadnezzar. If you look in Daniel, he was changing laws left and right. Oh, if you bow down to this great statue, awesome for you. But if you don't, you're going to get killed. Okay. He kept changing it back and forth. That's where we see man's confusion because it's constantly changing. But God's word, his laws will remain. But it's very careful, too, because I don't want you to think that you are, I guess the word I'm looking for is there seasons. When you look in the Ten Commandments, you have to read the Bible in its whole entirety, because there were laws placed in for the tabernacle, okay? How to do it. If he said it, it would be done. And I'm going to stop right there because I don't want you to become confused, but you really need to look to see in the Bible what is God's law. So that brings me to this. Jesus comes on the scene, okay? So why does he come on the scene? Well, we know, number one, is because no man, no woman, or child could keep the God's laws, right? Hey, we're products of who? Adam and Eve. So we're sinful. But here comes Jesus coming in the scene to make us an atonement for our sins. Because he has shed his blood, he was pure, holy. He didn't do anything wrong. He was not sinful. So please don't think and have anybody tell you that he was, because he was not. Let me make that clear. Jesus was not sinful. He did not sin. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, 17. And he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not coming to destroy, but to fulfill." You have to do your research. This is so important, especially now. You need to ask God for revelation, because anybody can study the word. But when people are telling you things, including myself, you need to go back and look for yourself, okay? Like I said, in Matthew chapter 5, read the entire chapter, but in verse 7, we see that Jesus said that he didn't come to destroy the law, because it appeared, and this is just my inference, that people thought at that time who he was talking to that he was going to do that. But he says, no, I have come to fulfill it. Well, there was a purpose in fulfilling his law. When I say his law, it was God's law, God the Father's law. So he's a part of the what? Law. Amen. So we could have life, power, and authority. Hallelujah. Now, let's remember, we have God as the creator, and it's us. Because God's infinite wisdom and his mysteries are so great, they literally do go over our heads. He already knew that we wouldn't be able to hold the law, right? That does not mean you go out there and start sinning and act a fool. Absolutely not. Because of the Holy Spirit that is within you, it tells us in the New Testament, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means if you know that is wrong, you don't go out and do it, okay? Sometimes we'll be tempted? Yes. Isn't that why grace is so sufficient? Yes. But our desire should be, we don't want to grieve the what? Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not the what? Him. Amen. Let me correct that. Him. Okay? And we recognize, too, that Jesus is our example. He fulfilled the law. He is our example of doing the best that we possibly can with a spirit of excellence to follow the law. Simple as this. If it says do not lie, do not what? Lie. Do not make it complicated. If it says do not steal, then do not what? Steal. It's that simple, right? Well, here comes the enemy. Anywho, in addition, I want to just take a quick break real quick to just let you know that you can catch these on-demand episodes with Just a Pill 24/7, so you can listen anytime. Just go to Blog Talk Radio on our homepage, and there's a list of the different episodes available if you're not able to catch everything that I've said, but it's always good to review because I do that too. Oh, because I missed something, or I wanted to see what was that person exactly talking about. But anywho, like I said, God's law versus man's law. So Jesus has come on the scene. He's already been here, and he's coming again. Hallelujah for that. But one thing that Jesus allowed us to see, and I think this is so cool, is that he explained what God sees. So when we were talking about the heart, we saw in Scripture that it can be what? Deceitful. It can have many devices. And there's a lot of scriptures regarding the heart of a man and woman. But what I do appreciate about the Lord is that he'll continuously give us knowledge, and it's just really up to us to use it so we shall not what? Perish. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, Jesus is talking about the law, but he goes on to discuss forgiveness and for us not to be angry towards our brothers, sisters, whomever it may be, because that's a heart situation, right? And I honestly thought when I was doing the show, just preparing, I was like, wow, Lord, that really opened my eyes that God had given a law when he gave the law. But when Jesus comes on the scene, it's something even deeper. It's more crystal clear understanding. Like, this is why you don't do this, because if God is looking at your heart of the matter, he wants you to have the pure heart that only he can give, right? So for us to exercise the purity of God changing our ways, we have to do certain things. And one of those things was to what? Forgive. Now, we can get into forgiveness on another show, but it's just interesting how now Jesus shifts and starts talking about the intention behind the action and the intention to follow the law so that we won't be, again, separated from God. What? Yes. Okay. Now, he goes on to say in chapter 5, let's look at verse 27, because this is a little bit more easier to digest, I think. He says to the people, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Basically, adultery is that you are cheating on your spouse, husband or wife, right? Okay, so that was against the law. However, in verse 28, he goes on to say, but I say unto you that whoever shall look it on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. Women, that's the same for you. Just because it's a masculine pronoun, it's the same for you. You can look at a man, lust, and have it all up in your heart. So, again, it's like a magnifying glass where Jesus is showing us what God sees that is happening in our hearts when we are not following the law, okay? So it's just not, oh, okay, well, let's just get a spanking because we didn't follow the law. No, it goes deeper than that. And I hope that is clear. He's talking about the heart of the matter, and we have to be very cognitive of this. It is interesting in this moment in time that when you look at these scriptures in the Bible, in Matthew 5, it's not said that the evil spirits of lust and adultery are present. But you got to keep in your mind, when we do the things that are not of God's laws, it does give the permission for that door of that evil spirit to wreak havoc. Okay? That's real. That's why the spiritual warfare is so crucial. And when you look in, can't remember the scripture off the top of my head, but when Jesus says that hell shall not prevail against his church, okay, because he has taken the keys. I believe it's in Peter. I just don't know where in Peter. So recognize that we are literally fighting against principalities. Paul already told us that. He gave us more in-depth about the evil spirits that are around. However, when we not, well, that's not grammatically correct. When we don't follow God's law, havoc will come, okay? That's just a part of the sin, because who is sin? Anyway, the originator is Lucifer, just being disobedient. So I want you to see that, because our next show, we are going to talk about the matters of the heart, right? Because it's so important to me, and it just came to my attention. Okay, well, Lord, let's get this heart right. Because sometimes we'll feel ashamed or even embarrassed to express to others, this is what's actually happening in my heart. This is what I'm actually feeling. And we'll talk about the feelings and the emotions as well in that particular show. But when we talk about God's law versus man's law, know that if it changes all the time regarding man's law, then it's a part of his emotions or her emotions, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with God, because God said his what laws will prosper. When he says it, it will get the job done. Whatever that job is to God, it will happen, okay? I'm just asking you to be mindful of what you're following. You have to have the spirit of discernment. You cannot even, well, let me just feel like this. Just ask the Lord, anything that I'm ignorant, Lord, show me. Please reveal it to me. It's things that I just don't understand, break it down for me. Because he will. He doesn't want you in confusion. He wants you to know the right to the left, right, dark and light, because Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way. He is the what? The truth. So if he's the truth, he has to reflect God's law, what to do and what not to do. Amen. And we do see this, how man's law was all jacked up, okay? Jacked up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. The people were running rampant. It was violent. It was depraved. It was crazy. And you can see from looking at that experience, God shut it down because they were not following his laws. Okay? That's how crucial it is. They were doing what man wanted to do, but God's laws are higher. We have to believe the Holy Spirit will show us the righteousness to follow in this world. And we are extremely grateful because Jesus did not leave us by ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have the Holy Spirit as our comforter, and he will show us what is good and what is bad. Okay? I want you to know, when you feel that conviction, you're just like, oh my goodness, like, I shouldn't have done it. I just feel so bad. It is the Holy Spirit convicting you of God's law, okay? Don't get it twisted. That has nothing to do with your conscience. It has nothing to do that man knows better from right and wrong. The Holy Spirit shows you the truth, especially in these last days. So I want us all to be obedient the best way possible to God's law, so we can see his laws prosper in our lives, just our obedience. But hallelujah for Jesus. When we can't just get it right, we have a Savior that we have to believe in, that he has given us the liberty to be free and not be condemned because of our transgressions and trespasses against God the Father. If you didn't get anything out of this show, you healthily recognize that God is holy and righteous. He is holy and righteous. And based upon his laws, there will be what? Judgment. That's real talk right there. I thank you for joining me today. It was such a blessing. It went by super fast. Again, I want you just to recognize, to know that God loves you. He has made you, and he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. So believe, y'all, believe, have faith that Jesus Christ has risen. He has come. He came to save us, but he's coming back again. He is coming back again for, amen, amen. So be blessed and have a wonderful day.